Oh, amen. I'm going to not talk real long this morning because I think I can, hopefully I can say what I want to say really quickly, but I'm going to stick with my notes a little bit, and there's a reason. I don't want to leave anything out. I think it's really kind of important. And today I want to talk about praying big. You know, so many of us, all of us really, pray so small. And I'm not talking about praying about small things. I'm talking about we pray with, I hate to say it, but we pray with small faith. We really do. We pray for things that are easy. You know, oh God, make the traffic be good on the way to wherever I'm, to the mall or to work or whatever, you know. Oh God, give me favor with this person. Oh God, you know, may they give me what I'm asking for. I mean, we pray for, those are natural, I mean, those are simple things. And they're easy things. And so often our prayers are limited to that. You know, I do a podcast every couple weeks. It's called The Up with David Sermon, The Up Podcast. And a few weeks ago, I ministered one on thinking big. And I think maybe sometimes that's our problem. We think really small. We look at our life in the natural. We look at what we could naturally do if everything went right, and we pray, God, help me do that. We think small. We don't think, God, help me do something that I can't do, that I never even dreamed of doing. Help me be a person I never dreamed I could be. We don't break out of that shell of what's comfortable and what's normal. We limit ourselves. And I also did another podcast like a week or so after that about blessing bombs. You know what a blessing bomb is? I call them that. I mean, I made that up. But yeah, it's not in the Bible that way, but they happen in the Bible. That's when, you know, you've really prayed for something big. And all at once it happens. Now, many things that we receive from the Lord come gradually. But every once in a while, a big bomb just drops, a big bomb of blessings. I remember Diane and I, we went through a lot of, starting out in ministry and getting going in ministry, we went through very many hard times financially. It was difficult getting going. But we pray that somehow God would move to make things smooth and easy, to send prosperity on a level that we see in the Bible. And, you know, all of a sudden, in 2014, something big happened, and boom, it was a blessing bomb. And it changed our life financially forever. I mean, we paid our house off, a bunch of stuff. God just moved. Amen. God moved in a big way. That's a blessing bomb. But you know what? I want to say something. Big dreams and big blessings come because of big praying. Yes. You know, we got to have the vision, the faith in our heart to believe that God can do something that's impossible for us. Right? Bigger than us. Jesus taught us in Matthew 7, 9 and 10. He said, you know, what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, wouldn't give him bread? If he asks for fish, wouldn't give him a fish? You know, he said, but if you being, even if you being evil, he was talking about the fallen state, know how to give good things to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? And you know, it's funny because the examples that he's talking about here really are lunch, right? Bread and a fish. That's lunch. And that's a small thing. But he's talking about something else. You know, small prayers are fine. God wants you to have all the good things, little and big, no matter how small they might be. And it's wonderful. It is a sign of intimacy with God that we do pray for a lot of little things. And I love them, you know, because God does give them to us. But I believe that Jesus really was trying to talk about something there. Think good things that are bigger thing. I think God dreams of us praying for bigger things than just that.
Amen.
And one of my favorite New Testament verses, you've probably heard me quote this before, it might be my favorite verse in the Bible, is Matthew 21:22. It says, "And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive." I love this, "all things whatsoever." That is pretty expansive. And look at how free that is. It's like, whatever. He's literally saying whatever. And I mean, the first time I read that in my Bible, my little Good News Bible I got the year I got saved when I was 18 years old, I thought, is he kidding? That whatever I ask of him, he would do? And I know some of us think, well, you know, only if it's a good thing. Well, you know, what else are you going to ask for? You're not going to ask for a calamity to happen to yourself. He means whatever you want, when you ask, he'll do it. I just want to rest on that a minute. That is really big thinking. It sort of stretches our brains, doesn't it? Now, we don't want to ask God for things, how do I say, that don't fit us. I mean, I don't want to ask to be president of the United States. Lord knows, I don't want to be that. I don't want to ever be that. But there are things I do want to be, and there are things I do want to do. And those are things that go along with the heart that God's given me and the desires God's given me. And I want to stretch out and be everything and do everything God's wanted me to be and do and receive everything God wants me to receive. And I get a feeling from looking at the Bible, God wants us to receive a lot of good, big things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so that's why I think just this verse alone tells me he wants us to think big and to pray big. All things, whatever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. That's the King James. The Young's Literal Translation adds a level to this that's kind of interesting. It says this, "And all, as much as you may ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." As much as you may ask in the prayer, that's what it says. So in other words, maybe we could pray for bigger things than just good traffic. Amen?
Amen.
As much as you can think up, God will do for you. As much as you can ask and believe for, you can have. Wow, God is just so generous. I know a lot of people don't think of him that way. Traditional religion doesn't think that way. God is generous to a fault. I mean, he is predisposed to giving. He loves to give us our heart's desires. Isn't that what there's many promises in the Bible that say that? Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's pretty clear, right? He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Wow, he's magnanimous. He's over the top on this stuff. And I pray, God help us all to see you as the generous person that you really are. You ask us to be generous. Why would you do that if you were not the same? You're way more generous than we could ever be. All things whatsoever. So why are so many of us just asking for these little niggling things, you know? We pray for what's easy, for what's humanly possible. But what about the big things? What about the things that aren't humanly possible? Jesus, Luke 18:27 says, "The things that are impossible with men are possible with God."
Amen.
Wow, there was a little boy on the southern island of Mindanao in the Philippines. He had a pastor named Alex Gonzalez. And they had a little school. And Alex taught his church that the age of miracles had not passed, that the things God did in the Bible, the impossible things, he still does today. So one day at the school, the boy's teacher told the class to bring him pencil and paper the next day since there'd be a test. Now I need to explain something. This is a very impoverished area. I've been to the Philippines a number of times. You can go to certain parts of the Philippines, and I mean, they've got nothing. They've got nothing. So evidently, they would have a little bit of pencil and paper, but they didn't bring it every day to school because that was only for special things. So the teacher told the class, everybody bring a pencil and paper tomorrow. And everybody did, except this one little 8-year-old boy who didn't have one. He had the paper, but he didn't have a pencil. And you might think, well, nobody's that poor, but I will guarantee you, there are some people, places we've gone, that are that poor. He didn't have a pencil. And, you know, the teacher told him he was sorry, but he couldn't take the test. So, heartbroken, the little boy walked out of the school and sat down on the front steps, with his, holding his little piece of paper in his hand, and just his eyes teared up. And, you know, you could think, he probably thought he seemed dumb and he was less than the rest of the kids and all kinds of self-pity. Ever get into self-pity? There's a lot of stuff you can think of. And he sat there on the front steps and, you know, just tears in his eyes. And he did what little kids will do. They took the piece of paper and he started playing with it and he fiddled with it and he rolled it up in a roll and was twirling it in his hands. And all of a sudden he felt something in it. And he unrolled it. Brand new pencil, brand new, machine sharpened. There was not a pencil sharpener within 35 miles of this place. He was so excited. He went and he ran in and he held a pencil up and he said, teacher, I can take the test. And the teacher said, wow, where'd you get that nice new pencil? And he said, the impossible God gave it to me. Sorry, I'm such a crybaby, but you know it's Jesus. God is so generous. But again, a pencil's a small thing, right? But it was also a big thing because it was an impossible thing. And I know there are some people listening to me today. And you might be facing an impossible thing. And I'm sorry, I'm usually not such a crybaby. I'm just really moved this morning with this. And I know I'm speaking to somebody specific. You're facing an impossible thing. A thing that people say doesn't happen. That your destiny is set and you're not going any farther than this, but that's not so. Impossible things happen in the Bible all the time. Yeah. Joshua, to win a battle, prayed for the sun to stand still. Okay, Copernicus hadn't been born yet, and people did not know that the sun is not what's moving. It's the earth. The earth is moving, and it's whirling, and that creates gravity. And if the earth were to stop whirling, everything would fly off into space. Joshua didn't know any of this. He just knew God could make impossible things happen. He didn't even pray. He just told it to stand still in the name of God. And the sun did not set for the period of about a full day. How'd that work? I don't know. You can ask God, maybe he'll show you. I just figure, impossible God, impossible things. Right? But we limit God so much. Wow, the things that God would do for us if we'd only ask. Sometimes it's a physical situation. Everybody knows Joel Osteen. I don't know how many remember John Osteen, his father, but I loved John Osteen. He was my favorite preacher. I used to love listening to him. His wife, Dodie, who named her Dodie, bless her heart, bless their hearts. But his wife, Dodie, got metastatic liver cancer, which basically means liver cancer that's metastasizing. And, you know, you can't get another liver. I don't know if you can now. Can you now? I don't know, but you couldn't then. I doubt it that you can now. But, you know, it's, and here's this cancer. It's growing. It's growing. And it's just multiplying. And they told her, you know, you're going to die. So, you know, it's time for you to face up to that. And she was a Christian. You know, she could go to heaven. She could have looked at it that way. She could have said, well, you know, I can go on to be with the Lord. And one time Paul even said, I don't know if I want to go or stay. I mean, it would be better to go with the Lord. But he said, I'm going to stay because people need me. And Dodie, for whatever reason, she said in her heart, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay. It was impossible. And, you know, sometimes we always expect a miracle to happen instantly. And sometimes they do. Very often they do. But sometimes miracles don't even happen instantly. Sometimes there's a progression of time. And this is what the case was like with Dodie. She gave herself to the Word. She studied the Word. She went through chemo. She was throwing up. She got horribly sick. She was really looked like she was on her last legs. And then she got better. And then she got well.
Amen.
And all the cancer was gone. Impossible. But God does impossible things like this. God raises the dead. God,
yeah.
You know, we think of the parting of the Red Sea and we go, what an amazing thing. But you know, that's not the only time that happens in the Bible. It happens four other times. Three other times. There's the situation, of course, with Moses and the Red Sea. But then when Joshua came to the Jordan River, remember? He had inherited the mantle of Moses, and he thought, let's see if this works. And he said to the Jordan River, part so we can cross, and it did. It says, as a matter of fact, it's funny. It says it stopped up at some place called Adam, way up the river Adam, and the water just all ran out, and there it was, you know. And so then later on, Elijah comes to the Jordan River with his cape, and he just smacks the river, and it goes like that. And then he goes on. Now you talk about supernatural things in the Bible. I was just reading this yesterday, and so then. He keeps trying to get rid of his servant, Elisha, that's walking along beside him. He goes, get out of the way. I got something I got to do. And Elisha says, no way, because he knows something's coming. And sure enough, Elisha, a whirlwind comes, and Elijah goes up into heaven in a whirlwind. It's also not the first time somebody was translated to heaven in the Bible. That had happened before, too. You know, some people go to heaven without dying. He's a supernatural God. We got to remember this, you know? But then Elisha, he grabs up the cape, you know, that Elijah had, and he goes back to the Jordan River, and what's he do? He goes, where's the God of Elijah? And he smacks the river and the water parts. I want to tell you, God hasn't quit doing stuff like this. God could do this today if we walk in that kind of confidence in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's a supernatural God that does. Oh, so what I'm trying to say is when we want to pray, we want to pray big. Amen. Now, this is a much smaller than those kind of miracles, but I personally experienced it. We did some ministry in the Amazon area of Peru, and we came back. When we were on the plane on the way back, I got appendicitis. I didn't know what was going on, but my stomach was coming apart. I mean, the pain was incredible, and I kept having to go to the bathroom, and I walked back to the bathroom one of the times, many times I was going, and just passed out and fell on the floor in the aisle of the plane. Well, they don't let people lay down in the aisle of the plane, so people immediately called for a doctor. They asked if there was a doctor on the plane. It was just like a movie. Diane says, it was like a movie. They were calling, is there a doctor on the plane? You know, is there a doctor in the house? And there was. And he came and he rolled me over, and I started waking up. I'm looking up, and there's this guy checking me, and he's pushing on my stomach and everything, and he stands up and he goes, "Está apendicitis." You know, he's from Lima. It's his appendicitis. So, seriously, such drama. I've got appendicitis on the plane, and so they got to take the whole plane. It was supposed to fly from Iquitos, Peru to Jamaica, and then from Jamaica we're going to change planes or whatever transfer. We're going to go to Miami, and that's where we flew into the States. Well, they changed all that. They said, nope, now this guy's got appendicitis. We're flying straight to Miami. And they put on the afterburners and flew that plane fast and took us to Miami. More drama. They stopped the plane before he pulls into the bay. They stopped the plane on the runway, and the ambulance comes with the whirring and the lights, and they carry me out on a stretcher, and they take me to, they don't have this hospital anymore. It was called Miami-Dade Hospital. They take me to Miami-Dade Hospital. And so I've got appendicitis. So along the way somewhere, I'm asking the doctors, once we get there, I say, okay, it's appendicitis, and they're checking me out, and yes, it is. And they go, and I said, so does this go away? I mean, can you give me antibiotics or something? He said, no. Appendicitis only ends one way, okay, or two ways. You have an operation. Or the appendix ruptures, and then you got sepsis and all kinds of stuff. And so they said, it could pretty much kill you if you don't take it out. So you're getting an operation. So they said, he begins pushing on my stomach because there's something they can tell. Anybody here is medical, you might know this. But there's some way that they can tell how far it's progressed by where you feel it. And so he's pushing on my stomach, and he goes, does this hurt? And I said, no. And he pushes another place. He goes, I said, does this hurt? And he says, no. And he does several other places. And he goes, well, what? Why doesn't it hurt? And I said, well, there was a flight attendant on the plane that gave me two pills, two different kinds. And I said, they stopped the pain. And so he said, what did she give you? And I said, I don't know. I remember that the flight attendant told me they were pretty heavy-duty painkillers. They were like medical-grade stuff and not for everybody to buy over the counter. So I used to know the name of one of them, but I don't remember. But at any rate, he said, well, that's great. He said, because basically we're going to have to monitor you until the painkillers wear off since you don't know what they are. So they did that. And so now I'm thinking, I've got time. I'm going to believe God that I'm not going to have it taken out and it's not going to rupture. Now, that's not really possible. But I mean, God just, it must have been the gift of faith because God helped me pray a big prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you heal this appendicitis. Amen. And then I just started saying, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. So anyway, they come back, you know, a half hour later, and they feel me again. Still no pain. Okay, we'll wait, you know. So they wait like some period of time later, and they come back, and they do it again. Still no pain. This happened finally four times. They came back and checked me, and it never hurt. So he told me, he said, well, something unusual is happening. We don't really understand, but... He said, here's what's going to happen. He said, do you guys have a place to stay tonight? And yes, we did. It was really, really close to the hospital. And he said, it'll be okay if they take you there and you go ahead and get a night's sleep. But he said, the pain's going to come back sometime during the night. And when it does, call for the ambulance. We'll get you right back in here and do the operation. So that's what they did. They took me to this little place. And we, kind of like a hotel. And they put us in there. And how can I explain this? Something like 25 years have passed and the appendicitis never came back. Actually, that was 1991. How many years ago was that?
Amen.
Almost 30, yeah. 30-something, yeah, 34 years. It never came back. It never came back. It never came back. That's impossible. Here's a funny thing, too. Just a little, they call it God wink. So some years later, I think this was in like 2015, something like that, I got a hernia, that little bump, you know, I got a hernia. And so they said, You need to have this operated on. And for some reason, it didn't bother me. I thought, what the heck? Let's operate on it. And they took me in, and they did the little slit, and they did a little operation for my hernia and fixed it back up. And afterward, they came to my wife, and they said, the strangest thing happened. They said, when we opened him up to take out the to stitch up the hernia, he said, this appendix popped out, separated from the rest of his. It wasn't attached. You know, it's at the bottom of your large intestine. He said it popped out. It just it was separated, and he said it was encased in a little, a little something of membrane of skin. He said, this is the darndest thing. And she said, I know exactly what that is.
Yes.
What happened? That's what happened. When I was in the hospital at Miami-Dade, God just popped that little thing off, wrapped it up, and saved it for later. This is crazy, but I'm just sharing this to tell you that God does impossible, crazy things.
Amen.
Even in this day. And they're not all medical. Amen? Sometimes think about opportunity. Now, you may not feel called to this, but you can maybe relate on another level. A friend of mine and his wife moved to the Soviet Union to be missionaries. This was back in like 1992 or 91, right after the Iron Curtain fell and some of the countries seceded from the Soviet Union. So they moved to Latvia, which was one of the countries that had seceded. I mean, just going to the Soviet Union to raise up a church is kind of a big vision. I went to Estonia the year that they opened up, and I will tell you, it was scary. There were Russian soldiers there everywhere, and we had to do an outdoor meeting in front of all these. I don't know. It was just creepy to me. But he went to start a church, and he raised up a church in Latvia. But now they live in Moscow. Right in the middle of it, they've got a large church, and they're reaching the whole world. But that's not the end of their vision. I heard him share recently, he said, we're believing for a television station so that we can be in every single home in Russia. And you know what? Seeing what God's already done in his life, I think they're going to get it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They're going to get it. It's big thinking, big praying. You know, guys, I just want to inspire you today to think big and to pray big, because God has put no limits on this stuff for us in the Bible. The Bible days are these days. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may not feel led to start a church in Moscow, but not many do. It's a calling. Nor would you need the sun to stop. But you may need something today that only the impossible God can do. Believers, let's be believers. Amen?
Amen.
Let's not rein God in by only asking for the easy things. The things we can understand as being humanly possible. Let's lift our eyes higher. God told Abraham, lift up your eyes from where you now are. For all the land that you can see, I can give to you. Let's think like that. God told Abraham that he would have children like the sand of the seashore.
Yes.
If you can see it, if you can ask for it, you can walk in it. Amen. Let's lift our eyes higher, believing that our impossible needs can be met, that our impossible dreams can come true. Because the God who created the worlds, parted the Red Sea, stopped the mouths of lions, raised the dead many times, and Yah even stopped the sun, said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask today that you will inspire all of our faith that you will grow all of our faith through the word. And so that we can ask for, we can have the audacity to pray for things that are impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I would have led you in a prayer, but I want you to be able to meditate on that and think, you know, think, what is it that's impossible that I really want in my life and really need in my life? Would you do that? Think about that and then take a little time, maybe step out in the backyard by yourself or whatever with God and ask Him for it.
Amen.
Because He's good for it. He's big enough for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.